Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of the Talk Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jared. Today I'm joined by a new friend of mine from TikTok, Midnight Hikage. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, bro. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. I know we've had some timing issues getting us both to where we have time to get this podcast episode recorded, but...
Yeah,
I'm glad to finally get you on here.
Yeah, this is fun, bro. This is my first ever podcast, so this is going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah. they're pretty fun. Usually my co-host Justin is here, but he's busy with other life situations at the moment, so I'm glad I could get somebody else in here with me today.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Midnight, where can the listeners out there find you?
Yo, so you can find me on TikTok is my main platform. I have around almost 20,000 followers on TikTok. So if you guys ever want to go check me out, the at is just Midnight Hokage. Just how it's spelled, midnight as like midnight day, like midnight at night. And then you got Hokage as like your basic Naruto Hokage from Naruto. So that's just how you spell it. And you can also find me on YouTube. I'm currently in the process of editing my YouTube channel and getting it back up because I haven't really been uploading much on there. So I'm still at the point where I'm still trying to get everything set up and probably make some really dope anime content on YouTube as well. You can also find me on Instagram. I have two accounts, ElvisRojas1021 and also Midnight Hokage, my anime account. That's just awesome. Where you can pretty much find me.
And we'll have the links in the description here as well for all of those. So definitely check out my buddy there. You can also give us a like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, give us a 5-star review out on the audio realm. We definitely appreciate that. And with that, we're going to get into this week's episode. We're going to be doing a waifu appreciation episode here. So basically, we're just going to be chatting about a bunch of our favorite waifus, maybe a little banter between the two of us on some of them. We'll see where it goes here. But I'll get things kicked off here with one of my all-time favorite waifus from one of my top 10 animes of all time, Kanade Tachibana from Angel Beats.
I haven't seen Angel Beats, so that's really hard one to grade on, but I heard she was one of the best ones in the show.
I'm not going to delve too far into it with her. Because this is a very, very spoiler-heavy show if you mention too much about it.
Okay. Like, I could take a spoiler. I've taken so many spoilers before, man. You have no idea. One of my favorite waifus, Chelsea from Akame Ga Kill, I got spoiled about her death. So it's just like I got spoiled that she turned into a lollipop. So it's just like...
Oh, that's poor just Chelsea.
Yes. No, when I ever post something about Chelsea on my TikTok, man, you already got people in the comments saying that she turned into the thing that she loved the most, lollipops. Like, I'm always getting that, bro.
I can imagine.
It just breaks my heart that happens, bro. It's...
Yeah, that was... Cool. Oof. What a show.
That was a death. That was a death I cried about, bro.
That one came out of nowhere.
It really did. Like, I already knew it was going to happen, obviously, because I got spoiled, but a death that really just got, that just went out of nowhere for me, I didn't know who was going to die was Lubak, you know?
Yeah.
Lubak. That one really, really had me surprised, because I thought he was going to be one of the few that lived, but no.
Now they killed everybody but Akame, for anybody who hasn't seen it. Sorry for the spoilers. But yeah, it's a brutal one. Back to Angel Beats here, though. Kanade Tachibana is... She is an interesting one. She starts out as, like, technically a villain in the show. Like, technically she's the antagonist, but it kind of progresses from there.
So it's sort of like a Vegeta type of thing, you know? Sort of like a Vegeta Kurumi type of thing, you know?
Not quite. It has a different twist to it. Like, where it turns out she's not the antagonist, and she's actually one of the protagonists of the show. It has a really fun twist, and it hits you with the feels. You get a really cute ending after the credits of the show, but it's really sad, the final episode with like her and the main character. But she's pretty adorable in the show. She loves spicy Mapo tofu. That's her favorite thing to eat. And she has, I love how she's portrayed by both the English and the Japanese voice actresses as well, because they both gave her a very like somber and low, quiet kind of a voice. Almost, not quite a whisper, but very soft-spoken, and she's just absolutely adorable.
She sounds like a really good waifu, to be honest. She sounds like I would actually enjoy, because I like those type of waifus that are just like, that go from really being like kind of evil and like not really caring about the world to just being loving, you know?
Yeah, like, that's kind of how she is, yeah.
That's why I liked Ami from Toradora so much. Because she used to be kind of like, she was kind of a dick. And then she just had the most insane character development in the show and became really good. And that's why I choose Ami over Taiga.
I mean, that's a fair assumption. Like, honestly, like when I was going through making my list, I kind of struggled between her and like Taiga. For me, I really like enjoy the dynamic between Taiga and the main protagonist. What's his name? Ryuji?
Yeah, Ryuji.
Yeah.
Ryuji.
And kind of how it goes from them trying to like help each other out into relationships, and then it kind of turns into them realizing, oh, no, we got the feels for each other.
Like,
I personally like that, like in the final kind of episodes, like when everything goes down, you just kind of see how their friendship is built up and how it kind of blossoms into something more.
Yeah, I get you. But that's something I also did not like about the relationship. That's why I didn't enjoy Toradora so much. It's because I didn't like how she ended up treating him like pretty much like a servant, you know? She treated him like a servant at the beginning of the show. And Ryuji was always helping Taiga, trying to get her crush and stuff like that, try to get with her crush, you know? But then when it came time for Taiga to help Ryuji out, she kind of like interfered with it, you know? If you know what I mean. Like,
to
she kind of interfered. Yeah, to a degree, she interfered with their relationship. Like, they could have been together, but since she was such a nice person, she let pretty much Taiga have Ryuji, even though she knew that she loved Ryuji as well. So that's just an aspect of why I did not like the relationship as much. Like, going into Toradora, I had high expectations for the relationship. I had high expectations that I was going to like the relationship. Because Fortune or Sleepy Sharingan on TikTok always told me that he liked their relationship. He really did like his relationship. But going into there, I didn't expect it at the beginning to be such a one-sided, like just such like a one-sided friendship, you know, where Taiga was pretty much the only person getting helped out. But then when it came time for Taiga to help Ryuji, she kind of like betrayed the promise that they made to each other, you know, but ended up falling for him instead of her initial crush. Which I think that's adorable that she realized her feelings and stuff. But if you look at it at one way, it kind of intruded and ruined something that could have happened that could have been even more special, you know?
Yeah, I kind of see where you're coming from there, but it just felt like, as in like the story in a whole, that's like obviously where the author wanted to take it, and it was just kind of having to like go down this windy path of them having feelings for other people before like they can come to the conclusion that, oh, it's really each other that they actually love, you know?
Yeah. Like, and I can understand why that's good as a relationship. Like, I obviously did understand that they were going to get together because they're the two main characters. It was bound to happen. I wasn't going to be dumb. But I thought this anime was going into it, I really did. Like, if I didn't know about Taiga and Ryuji's relationship, I really thought that it was just going to be two main characters helping each other out, getting with each other's crushes. Like, that would have been a pretty good anime too by itself. But either way, Toradora, it's okay, if this makes sense, it's the most liked out of all the animes I don't like, you know? I liked it more than Seven Deadly Sins, and I liked it more than JoJo's. Though it was just the most liked out of all the ones I hated, you know?
That's fair.
Like, I could see why I would like it, but I can also see why I wouldn't like it.
Right.
But that's just what I think about it.
Oh, no, I like hearing differing opinions about anime that I like. It's always nice to get a different take on something like that, you know?
Yeah, so do I. I like hearing different opinions on it, but sometimes people just take it a little bit too far. You know?
That's true.
Like, not respecting their opinion. Because I got, on one of my videos that I made about the Asterix War, someone commented saying that the Asterix War was so bad and that it was just crap. And I said, I actually really did like Asterix War. Then they say, you should at least watch the Chivalry of a Failed Knight. It's at least less trash than Asterix War. I'm like, I liked both. Those two enemies are both in my top two enemies of all time. And then the person goes to proceed and says, you should watch one more anime. I'm like, I've watched over 30 animes. And that's just the two that I enjoyed the most out of all of them. Like, right. I know Naruto and Dragon Ball are better than them, but I honestly enjoyed them more than Naruto and Dragon Ball, if I'm being honest.
Right. And that's something, like, I feel like people have, like, a hard time understanding about other people's, like, say, like, a top 10 or something. Like, anime is very subjective.
Especially
about
the new
what you're going to like.
Now.
It's not, there's nothing that's objectively everybody is going to like.
That's true.
It's an art form, so everybody's going to have an opinion, kind of like we have opinions about waifus.
Exactly. People think Akano is trash, and people think that Akano is overhyped and overrated, but everyone thinks that Akano is a very good waifu, and I honestly see why she's a great waifu. I'm not going to lie. She's a good one.
Right.
But sometimes she can be very overhyped, but at the end of the day, overhype just means that she's popular. So there's really no such thing as a bad waifu to me. There's really no such thing as that. It's just waifus that get more love than other waifus.
That's honestly a great way to put it.
There's no overrated waifus. It's just waifus that get more love than other waifus, you know?
Right. And everybody's like, going to have a different opinion about, like, the characteristics of, like, a waifu that they like more than another one, that sort of a thing.
Yeah. Honestly, I agree with you there. But, like, people have to understand that just because someone likes 02 doesn't mean that 02 is the worst waifu. I honestly, personally, like 02 as a waifu, like her as a character. She had a really good character, even though if she looked like the bad guy at the beginning of the show, she still progressed into a really good character who actually did care about everyone in the show. And like, she just became wholesome, you know? And that's just what people keep forgetting, that she went from pretty much just lying to herself about what she thought about Hirudo to actually accepting the fact that she was in love with Hirudo and stuff like that, you know?
Right.
And that's what people need to understand.
I think she gets more hate these days, at least like on TikTok, because TikTok's like this weird anime bubble compared to like a lot of other social media for anime, where like the most random things get hate. And it's usually something that's popular, so.
Like, it's always going to be something that's popular.
Yeah, every time.
So like, it's the same. When My Hero came out in 2016, everyone liked My Hero, and everyone. Then it just got hated on for overrated.
Right.
You feel me? And overhyped. And then 2019, it was the same thing with Demon Slayer when it won Anime of the Year over Vinland Saga. Like, it's the same thing. An anime that does really well and is really popular ends up at the end getting overhyped and called trash because of it being overhyped. Now, of course, there's animes that are actually like some people actually have good like opinions on it. The reason why they don't like it, like people have opinions on why they don't really like Demon Slayer. They think the story is basic. They don't like the characters or the character designs in it. But at the end of the day, if you consider Naruto a masterpiece, I don't like Naruto also has one of the basic stories too. Like a kid who wants to become something bigger in life, you know? Most animes have that type of concept where the main character wants to become the strongest or wants to become the best. Same thing with Black Clover. Asta wants to become the Wizard King, the best. Same thing with My Hero. Deku wants to become the best hero, the number one hero. Same thing. Like, you see a continued pattern with these animes that come out every year. You see a continued pattern with when it comes to what the main character wants to be. Now, like, if you want to go with something that's different, like Asterix War, the main character wants to find his sister and wants to, like, just find his sister and knows what happened to his sister after her disappearance, but also wants to win tournaments and become one of the best. Like, that one has two sides to it. The Asterix War has two sides. The Chivalry of a Failed Knight, the main character, Iki, he just wants to be as strong as he can, you know?
Right.
Like, his main goal was to get everyone to accept him. And that's something Naruto also had that not many anime had. Like, Black Clover has the pretty much same thing. Asta wants everyone to accept him of not having no magic. Like, if you think about it, Shivery of a Failed Knight has been on that road along the road with Naruto, My Hero, and Black Clover for same main character objectives, but is also on a different side of it too. Because I like it when a main character has multiple objectives to achieve, you know? Mm-hmm. That's why I liked Naruto so much. Naruto had two objectives. Obviously, the main and plain simple, I want to be the best, and also bringing his best friend back to the village. I think that's just what sparks the potential inside animes when they have different objectives, when the main character has different objectives inside, you know?
Oh, yeah, I can completely agree.
And that's what I love about it. And I've been seeing a lot of comments about, Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, basic story, basic objective. I've never really seen an anime where the main character is trying to find a cure for his sister to turn back into a human. Like, I've never really seen much of that, you know?
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to think off the top of my head if I can think of another one. I'm sure there is.
Yeah. I'm sure there are some that wants to get, like, their best friend or, like, sister or, like, any relative back to normal and back to a human. But, like, for right now, I can't really think of much.
Right.
I can't really think of much.
Same with me. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
So I don't really think Demon Slayer has the basic story, you know? I think Demon Slayer has a pretty unique story of how it takes pass, you know? I won Anime of the Year. I can see why I won it, but I can see why it shouldn't have won.
Right, opinion. And I think it also helped, not to knock on that, on Demon Slayer or anything, but, like, I don't know, that was what, last year, 2019, that it won?
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Yeah. I felt that was, like, maybe a semi-weaker year for anime. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Like, standouts were probably, like, that, Fire Force,
Vinland Saga.
And that, maybe Shield. Did Shield Hero come out in 2019? I can't remember that or 2018, something like that.
One of those years.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It wasn't the strongest year in anime either. So that tends to help it out, but it's not like it's a bad anime at all.
It's really not. I actually really did enjoy Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer was one of the animes I really enjoyed this year. But enough about the 2019 anime winner. Who do you think will win 2020?
God, this... So with the human malware going on,
yeah,
it's really knocked a lot of them out.
I mean, there's a lot of animes that really did come out this year. We got Rent-A-Girlfriend that came out this year.
Yeah, Rent-A-Girlfriend was solid.
Yeah, Jujutsu Kaisen, Tonikawa. What else do we got? I know there's one. I know there's another one. I forgot, though. I honestly thought there were so many that came out, but I keep forgetting it's anime that came out this year, that started this year, not seasons.
Right, so, yeah, it's anime that started this year.
Yeah,
my personal favorite, ReZero, wouldn't count because it didn't start this year.
It's going to be between...
It's probably going to be Jujutsu Kaisen, I would say.
Jujutsu Kaisen or Rent-A-Girlfriend. Now, Romance of the Year will obviously be Tonikawa. I mean, that romance is so wholesome, bro.
I've been enjoying it so far.
I loved it so far. Like, every episode, I'm hooked. But, I mean, the thing is, it has many aspects that not really any normal romance anime would have. Like, the first episode, the two main characters get married. First episode.
I know. Right off the bat. It's great. They just, like, go to a marriage office, like, convenience store. It's just open 24/7.
And spoilers for episode 4 for anyone who hasn't watched it. The episode that recently came out, episode 4, he finally made his move and finally kissed her. There's, like, My Teen Romantic Comedy, which has been one of the many romance animes everyone's been wanting and waiting for. At the end of season 3, Hikigaya and Yukino did not even kiss at the end. They're not even confirmed to be together. They just love each other. That's all we got so far, but they're not confirmed to be together.
Right.
which I find that it's like Tonikawa is like a different like breed of romance animes. You feel me?
Like, yeah, it's one where I enjoy where they actually get into the relationship. It's something in romance anime where that doesn't happen quite enough. There are standouts like off the top of my head, not to cut you off there. My Love Story, they get into a relationship very early.
Shiver of Phil Knight, they get into a relationship early.
Say I Love You, they get into one early on in that.
Definitely.
Kimi ni Todoki. That's also a good one where they actually it has more build up, but they do get into the relationship. I'm trying to
think.
There's another one recently that came out. Obviously Bunny Girl Senpai.
Oh yeah, that one. I forgot about that one. That one's like the most
three or four there in the
relationship. Darling in the Franxx. Also.
Yeah.
Hero and Zero Two get into a relationship. No, they're like that's something that romance anime should do more often. Like they should show the development of the relationship during the show, you know?
Yeah, I would appreciate that more. It depends on obviously whatever the original writer was kind of trying to go for with the characters. But
that's very true.
It is something I definitely appreciate, and honestly, I think I like it how often it shows up at this point because it makes like the animes that do show the relationship build throughout the show, it makes them feel more special, you know?
Yeah, I get you. Now, like there's something I've always wanted to say. So I started watching Snafu and My Teen Romantic Comedy, Origaru, after season 3 ended. I started watching it because I heard a lot about it and I started watching it. Everyone is saying that the last couple episodes of season 3 were so worth the wait all those years. Now, going into it, I thought, oh, they're going to kiss or something or get into a relationship at the end of season 3. That'd been dope. But what happened was that, obviously, spoilers, but what happened was that Yukino just told Hikigaya that she loved him. And I was jumping up and down, too, when that happened. So that was really good. I really did. But the thing is, I don't think it would have been worth the wait because I would have loved to see the relationship just go off, you know? I would love to see, like, at least the last couple episodes focusing on their relationship. That would have been dope.
That would have been nice as well, but I feel like with the style of the anime, like, the ultimate build and payoff was that confession, you know? That's like the ultimate thing. Like, now if there was, like, some OVAs afterwards that would come out that would, like, show them in a relationship and that sort of thing, that would be cute. But yeah. I feel like you, obviously, with part of the title of the show where that's called Climax, that's kind of where you wanted to hit, like, that peak of the emotional aspects of it. And you just wanted to end on that note, you know?
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying the confession was terrible. The confession had me jumping up and down. I loved the confession. The confession was amazing. The setting was amazing. How she said it was unfathomable. Like, everything about the confession was amazing. I loved the confession, yes. But I wish obviously, like you said, OVA, I wish they released some OVAs about their relationship and them in a relationship. Now, the saddest part about the anime was when Yui obviously lost and didn't get with Ikigaya. Now, that was pretty sad. When she just started crying at that corner, that really did break me. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I was Team Yukino, but it was hard to see Yui cry, man. It was hard to see. Oh, yeah. Like, I thought she wasn't going to say one of her yahalos ever again, bro, after that. I was so scared. But then when, obviously, at the end, she did come into the room and say it, and I was happy.
Yeah, that's, and I'm glad this got a finish to it. I know they were just waiting on everything to get all the source material to get completely caught up. But it was one of those things where, like, you got, like, back-to-back seasons pretty quickly. And then there was, like, nothing. I think those were, like, 4 or 5 years, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I get you.
Because I remember watching this when it first came out. And I had to, like, rewatch all of it. Because I had, like, forgotten half of what had even happened.
That's the same thing that happened with me and Fairy Tail. Legit, I watched Fairy Tail. Fairy Tail was my first anime. And then I watched it this year. I rewatched it this year because I read the ending. I read the ending off the manga because the ending wasn't finished yet. Mm-hmm. It wasn't animated when when I was watching it. So I was still waiting for the ending, but I just decided to read the manga off YouTube because I didn't have any like Hulu or nothing like that, or I didn't know any manga websites. So I just read it off YouTube. There was this really good, reliable YouTuber who released the mangas for all the animes and stuff.
Nice.
Manga chapters. So I just read the final Fairy Tail chapters, and it was honestly, I liked it more animated because it just showed a lot more and a lot more emotion in the anime. And I liked it when Natsu at the end did the Seven Dragon Roar and it was amazing and defeated Acnologia. If I'm being honest, Acnologia is probably a top 10 villain for me, bro. Acnologia was, that's something that Naruto should have done. They should have made Madara the last villain and just made Kaguya and Boruto. But I liked how Acnologia was the last villain, not Zeref. Because if Zeref was the final villain, then it would just end with Acnologia still going on a rampage and then still having to fight it, and they would have to continue dragging out Fairy Tail. So I like how they did that, the Zeref and Natsu fight. And then after that, Natsu came back to Lucy, but then found out that Acnologia was attacking the city nearby and just went. And then all the seven Dragon Slayers went into this dimension and fought Acnologia there, which I thought was the most sickest fight I've ever seen.
Nice. Yeah, Fairy Tail was something I dropped pretty early on in its life. I just couldn't get into it myself.
Yeah, and everyone says that, and I honestly respect people's opinion. I can see why Fairy Tail gets hate. Like, I could see it, but I honestly really did enjoy Fairy Tail. I honestly really did love Fairy Tail.
Right. It's not something I hate on. It was just like, you know, when you're watching something, you get like 10 episodes in or so, and you're just like, yeah, this isn't for me. It was just one of those situations.
If I'm being honest, the beginning of Fairy Tail was kind of whack. But honestly, going into it, it just like gets way better. The animation gets better. It's like the fights get more better as animated. Like it gets way better. Like it gets really good. I think when I started absolutely being in love with the show was, I think, during the Cage Shelter arc, when they recruit Rendy for the guild, is when I started getting in love with it. It was a really good arc, and it was honestly really funny too at the end of the arc when Gajio was pretty pissed off that he didn't have his own cat like Wendy and Natsu did.
Right.
That he didn't have his own flying cat, you know? Like, all the Dragon Slayers have a flying cat except Loxus and Cobra because they're not full Dragon Slayers. They have like Dragon Slayer stones inside of them that allows them to use Dragon Slayer magic. So Cobra uses poison dragon magic, and then Loxus uses lightning dragon magic, and then the rest, obviously, the five other Dragon Slayers who are actually trained by dragons actually had the experience from it. Thing is, Sting and Cobra are third generations. They have both Dragon Slayer stones inside of them, and they were trained by dragons, so they're third generation. Natsu, Gaju, and Wendy are first generations. They have no stone inside of them. They were trained by pure dragons and learned all their techniques from dragons and how to breathe their element. And then Gaju and Cobra are second generations with stones inside of them.
Nice.
So overall, there's five Dragon Slayers out of the seven that have stones, and then there's five out of the seven Dragon Slayers that have been trained by dragons. So if that makes sense.
That does, yeah.
Yeah, alright, go on with the next question.
I was going to say that to get back on topic a little bit.
Yeah, we've been off topic.
We just got on like a 20-minute tangent on other stuff.
Yeah, alright, let's keep
going. Another one of my favorite waifus is from a little-known show called Steins Gate. You might know it.
A
few people have seen it here and there. Mayuri Shina.
Hold on, I gotta get on the dock and see the picture, but I forgot how she looks like. Let's see here.
She's got like the cute little white dress, the shorts, boots, a white hat.
Oh yeah, I got it.
She plays such a like innocent yet like pivotal role in the entire show, with like her and Hyun Kilma and like everything that goes on in the show. I'm not going to drop like any spoilers for this one, because this one needs to be like seen. But like, with like the only thing I'll mention like is like the time travel that happens and the timelines and like how everything just becomes completely broken and there's trying to fix the timelines and people are dying and all of this. Like, it's so emotional, and then like she's like one of the pivotal characters with that, like to create that emotional response in the show. But she's excellent. She's adorable. She has this little kind of a catch phrase that she says. It's just this little doo 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 thing, and it's just
also like with Yui from My Team Romantic Comedy, how she comes to the time and says, "Yeah, hello."
Yeah, so she basically has that kind of whenever she kind of like comes into a room, that's kind of what she does. It's really cute. Highly recommend Steins Gate to anybody who wants to watch an anime or just a phenomenal anime. It does have a little bit of a slower build.
And that's fine.
The payoff is worth it in that one, like 100%.
Yeah, let me add it to the other 20 that I need to watch too. So the other 20 on my wish list, on my watch list, man. I have so many on my watch list. It's insane. But
this is the benefit of starting to watch anime when you're a kid, when you're like in 1998. You caught a lot of these when they were coming out.
Yeah. and I could have continued watching anime, but I was so in love with Fairy Tail, I just kept watching Fairy Tail stuff, man. I've watched, it's just, you know, younger me stupid, you know?
I wouldn't say stupid, but... Okay.
And then after I stopped watching Fairy Tail, I obviously watched a lot of Dragon Ball stuff. And then that till last year, I started watching Naruto, and then in the summer, mm-hmm. Attack on Titan, My Hero, and then just watched like a whole bunch of others. Got really into it, so that's just what it's got.
Nice.
All right, let's go with the next one.
We're going to skip a couple down here. We're going to go down to Mei Sakuijima.
Oh, let's go. We got Mai. Let's go.
All right. Oh, my God. So this is...
She is legit number 11 on my list, man.
She is top tier since the show came
top
out.
Tier. Gets hated on because she's popular, but I don't care what anyone says, bro. She is God tier waifu, man. She is God tier.
Oh, it's everything about her snarky responses, like the dialogue between her and the main character and the other main character, like,
and then just like how she responds to him with a sarcastic tone, like,
yes,
it's amazing. I honestly found the show hilarious. I found the show hilarious just because of the sarcasm in this show. The sarcasm in the show is top tier. It's funny. It has a bunch of romance in it, a bunch of drama, obviously. And the thing is, going into here, I thought I wouldn't learn anything new. Now I know pretty much everything I need to know about science in this show because of the
right?
show. And we can. And what was it called? What was it called? What was the science? What was the typical science called of that show?
Oh,
I forgot what it was called, but it would talk about.
I can't remember off the top of my head.
It would talk about different types of syndromes when you got like puberty syndrome and all that stuff.
Adolescence syndrome, isn't it? I think. Right.
Yeah. One of them is that, but you learn so much. Like, you would learn so much stuff in here that you don't need to know. Like, that you don't. You would just learn so much in here, you know?
Right.
Like, something that other, like, science and health teachers never really teach you about. You'd learn in Bunny Girl Senpai. Like, you just learn a bunch of stuff in the show.
She's just a
wonderful her character is amazing. Like, I like how she starts off as a celebrity but makes time to make sure she's with the main character and her sister, you know, just to make sure makes time for that, but she also takes priority in her work, right. Which is something I really do like, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the whole show's good.
It's the dialogue for me. It really is. It's like some of the best dialogue out there.
It really is.
And if you haven't seen the movie, ooh.
Oh, no, the
rule. Ooh, boy.
Oh, God, the movie. I don't want to spoil anything, but...
Oh, man.
The movie.
If you think the show had feels, just you wait. Yeah.
If you thought the show was sad, just wait till the movie.
The movie will get you.
Thank God the worst. Thank God that science is a thing in the movie, bro. Thank God that science is a thing. Like, I honestly love that. That science is a thing in that movie, bro. Because if science wasn't a thing, spoiler alert, Mai wouldn't be with us. And that is sad.
Truth.
All right, next one.
Give me one of yours.
Ooh,
give
Julius.
Me another one of yours. What you got?
Julius.
Oh, I know.
Asterix War. All right. So there are two very good waifus in Asterix War. You got Claudia, the student president, and then you got Julius, my personal favorite waifu of all time, and in the show. A lot of people disagree with me that saying that Julius is the best in the show, but I honestly really do think that Julius is the best in the show. I just like how competitive she is, and I like how she treats the main character. Like, she trains with the main character, she's there for the main character, but one thing that really didn't make me mad is how the rest of basically his kind of like harem, basically you would say, interrupts him and Julius. Legit, they were about to kiss, and then they come in and interrupt. And that got me jumping up and down saying, what the heck, what is going on, why did you do that? I was so ready for that moment, but it just didn't happen, I guess, which is sad.
Sad. That's right. But
yeah, Asterix War though is a very good show. I really do recommend it. You guys might find it similar to Chivalry of a Failed Knight if you've seen it, but there are honestly some aspects of Asterix War that are very different from Chivalry of a Failed Knight. Like, the characters are very different. Each character has a different mindset and a different goal to do. And that's what I liked about it. Obviously, different setting, obviously. But, I mean, I can see why people think that it's very similar. It has to do a lot with swordsmanship and swords, but also the two main characters. In Chivalry of a Failed Knight, the two main characters do get together, but right now in Asterix War, where it left off on season 2, there's no sign of Julius and Ayato in a relationship at all. There's no sign of it. But once season 3 comes out, I hope that they do end up getting in a relationship. I am waiting to get the light novels so I can just read all the volumes of the light novel.
Mm-hmm.
And just catch up on it, you know? But yeah, it's an anime I definitely really do recommend. That I think everyone should give it a shot.
Definitely should. I've seen Chivalry. I can't remember if I watched Asterix War. I can't remember if I started it or not.
It's something that was really worth watching. But the thing is, I watched Asterix War first, then Chivalry of a Failed Knight. But Asterix War came out in the light novels before Chivalry of a Failed Knight. So if you kind of think about it, if you really do think that Asterix copied Chivalry, then it's technically the other way around, if you think that, because Asterix came out first, and then Chivalry came out a year later. So that's just what Asterix came out 2013. Chivalry came out for the light novels and stuff like that. I think it came out 2014 or 2015. Chivalry got animated in 2016, and then I don't know if I'm getting these dates wrong. I gotta check.
Oh, very well. And I get so confused on dates when stuff came out.
Asterix War. Oh, shoot, hold on. Yeah, I'm just going on this Chromebook right here.
Asterix War. You're fine. Double check that for the listeners out there.
Yeah, release date. So it got animated 2016. No, it got animated 2015 was when it started. The anime aired for 2 seasons of 12 episodes each from October 3rd, 2015 to June 18, 2016. And then the second season was released on 2016. So let's go search up the light novel. Asterix War light novel release date. Yeah, okay, so the first... Okay. Oh, this is weird. It says the first volume was released 2016, but then it says the second volume was released 2013.
That's odd.
That's very odd. All right, here. The Asterix... Oh, yeah, came out... Okay, so it came out 2012, the Asterix War for the light novel came out 2012.
Okay.
Is when the light novels came out. And now, if we check Chivalry of a Failed Knight, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but if I'm saying it right, then big ups to me. But if I'm not, then big ups to me, too. let's see here. All right, so light novel release 2014. So, all right, Asterix came out 2012 or 2013. Which one was it? I forgot.
2012, I think is what you said.
Yeah, 2012. So Asterix came out 2 years before. That just proves that it actually wasn't. That just proves my point. But that's just what I'd say. But if you really do think that Chivalry is a copy of Asterix, then I don't know what to say to you. but
yeah, they're just it's similar. Okay. That's all.
Yeah, they're very similar. They're both very good.
You can enjoy
similar,
both.
I enjoyed both. They're both my top two favorite animes of all time. So, all right. Next one.
We're going to skip down here a few. I was thinking about talking about ReZero. We'll just go over that real quickly. This past season, Echidna for me. She is phenomenal. Remhu? Question mark. And then from the first season, obviously Rem. You know, there's great. So ReZero is just like waifu the anime, essentially. There's so many good female waifu characters in it. Between Echidna, Rem.
It's. I feel like it's between that and the Fate series for best waifus. You know,
Fate like has that are good not ones, here. Yeah. Yeah. Who else? Amelia, you could always go with. You could always go with the meme Roswell-san. All of those are great choices.
If I'm being honest, I haven't seen ReZero, but from what I've seen of it, like clips and pictures and stuff like that, I feel like Amelia would probably be my favorite waifu of the show.
Possibly.
And that's, yeah, and like I'm just more of a person that just thinks that the main character waifus are like better than all the other rest, you know?
Like, see, it's interesting with ReZero because of like how they take breaks with characters and how some characters just like don't show up for long periods of time in the show. So it's not like Amelia's in every single episode.
Yeah, I know that.
So but it's interesting how it gets you attached to other characters. Once you do get to ReZero, I'm curious how your response might be after seeing at least the first season.
Yeah, what I'm gonna do after I'm done watching Dragon Ball Super, because I'm rewatching it, I'm going to watch Twin Star Exorcist and then Misfit of a Demon Academy. What was the other one I wanted to watch so bad? I'm always forgetting, but there's another one, but I forgot about it. It was Twin Star Exorcist, Misfit of a Demon Academy, and then I think I might move on to ReZero after that, and then watch Fate after that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you wanted to wait like on ReZero, the second half of the second season's coming out this winter. So it might be like advantageous to wait until that finishes wrapping up. That way you can just like blow through like 50 episodes.
I've thought about that, but so, like there's so much things that I would, cuz yeah, if I wait for part 2 to finish, then I could just watch all of it and like know all of it right off the bat, you know?
Yeah.
But if I do wait for it, then I might end up getting spoiled and stuff like that for part 2, and I don't want to be spoiled.
As well.
That is very true, because there are a lot of spoilers. And that's the thing, I'm very impatient when it comes to anime. It's like, I'm super impatient right now for Asterix War right now. Like, I'm right. Legit this close to just like emailing someone just to make it, you know? That's the same thing with High School of the Dead. Because I really am impatient. I really want a season 2 of High School of the Dead, but I don't know if that's going to happen.
That, unfortunately, is never going to happen.
Yeah. But there's rumors saying that they hired someone to make the second season or something like that.
Oh, I will tell you right now, there have been rumors about a second season since the show came out, and that was like
2010 is when it came out.
2010, yeah.
Yeah, that's when it came out, 2010. The thing is, like, everyone on my live were saying that they don't see really at High School that they're coming out second season just because of the creator's death. I'm like, I can see why that may be, because like, and then someone said that the creator didn't want a second season. They didn't want him to release a second season after his death. And I'm like, I can see why they did that. It'd be kind of disrespectful for his death to just make a second season just like that. But you also have to kind of think about the fan bases, you know, that actually, because
right.
like High School of the Dead was one of the most popular animes when it came out. It was said that it was the most popular in that year when it first came out, and I honestly really did enjoy it when I watched it a couple weeks ago. I really did enjoy it, and
it has a banger of an opening.
Yeah,
the action is nice, but the dialogue is something.
yeah, but. And then there's also really unpopular opinions about the Rei, the main female, and then Takashi, the main male protagonist, about them in a relationship and how people don't like it. And I
don't ship it.
Yeah, I can see why people don't like it. I can see why people don't like it, because, I mean, she kind of left him for his best friend. But you also have to look at the fact, why did his best friend get with her when his best friend probably knew how much he liked her? That's something that you got to think about too. So it's not just Rei that's in the wrong. It's his best friend, Hisashi, that's also in the wrong. Hisashi, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Everyone's in the wrong in here, bro. Honestly. Everyone's in the wrong. The thing I really do like is Toka and Saya. You know? The guy with the... That has the gun, you know? And then
Saya,
yeah,
the
girl with the pink hair. Like, I feel like that's really good,
nerdy,
you know?
Kind of aesthetic.
Or I guess otaku
aesthetic would be more accurate.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I did enjoy that. I did enjoy the action in the anime.
Yeah, I thought the action was good. Who's your number one waifu from it? Who you got?
Ooh, that's hard. It's Rei or Saya.
Okay.
I liked Rei. I liked Rei because she had a big character development. Because she had a really good character development. Saya, obviously, kind of... Pretty obviously deserves way more love. Psycho is pretty good too, and then the science teacher, the girl with the blonde hair, also very good too.
Yeah, there's definitely some top tier ones in that.
Yeah, material in there.
Lots of culture.
Material, lots of culture and material in there, man. All right, let's move on to the next one.
We're gonna go down here to Chika Fujiwara. From Kaguya-sama, Love is War.
Another one that's on the 20 on my watch list.
She is one of the she's a rapper. She's adorable. Everybody should know the Chika dance at this point. It was like
I did the Chika dance for on my birthday when I hit 4K. Well,
I love it.
Well, I hit more than 4K on my birthday. I was at like 7K when my birthday came, but nice. I did the Chika dance. It was all just because of that one video about. It was just that one video about
what?
Death. About Lubbock's death.
No.
That got me a lot of clout. It's at 920,000 views right now.
That is awesome.
Almost at a million, bro. Almost at a million. I find that amazing. Thing is, I joined the TikTok Creator Fund yesterday.
Nice. Congrats.
I already have, I think, around 30,000 views around there from 2 days. So I think I'm going to be getting quite a bit of, you know, money. But that's not...
Excellent.
I agree. I already told my fans about what I'm going to do with most of the money. I'm going to... It's like some type of percentage will go to my account where I want to buy things for myself. And then another percentage will go to charity. And then another percentage will go to cosplays and stuff like that for the channel. For stuff, and then channel for YouTube as well is also what's in there, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that's just all I got there. But I don't expect to be making that much, but I do expect to be making at least like a little bit, you know?
Hey, every little bit helps.
Every little thing helps, you know? I already have like worth, I think almost $3 worth of donations from lives is what I got right now.
Nice.
For lives, which is pretty dope. All right, off topic, Chika, let's talk about Chika.
Chika, rapper, dancer, just cute character all around.
Adorable.
She is the highlight of the entire show for me.
Adorable.
Like, yeah. It's like her interactions with all the characters, her comic relief, the way she treats, Ishigami is hilarious. Adorable. Just, God, everything about her.
Oh,
and this just got announced for an OVA and a season 3 for Love.
Yeah, it just got announced, and I'm excited for it. Can't wait.
I'm super excited.
I'm honestly just thinking about going Love is War right now, and then just like finishing it up, you know, and then go on to Twin Star Exorcist. Because honestly, I saw the kiss for Twin Star Exorcist, and I'm already hooked on it. I'm already hooked about watching it. Like, it looks so good, but you know.
Yeah. Like, Love is War is one of my favorite comedies over the last 5 years of anime. And it's like up there with like Konosuba.
Konosuba was funny. Watched it. Thing is, I wish the characters were actually like a little bit stronger, you know? That would have been even doper. But it was funny.
It's all about the comedy for that one.
Yeah. It's just comedy, but it was funny. I loved it. It was so funny. Like, honestly, I was dealing with, like, being sad all the time before watching it. And then after I watched it, I just kept laughing my ass off every single time. Like, I couldn't even keep a straight face while watching it. Like, it was just too funny for me to keep watching. Like, I loved it. It was kind of weak at the beginning, but then it just got so good. It's just so funny.
Let's see. We're coming up on time here, so we're going to blow through a couple more from my personal favorite list here, and we'll get to a couple more of yours here, Midnight. We got Remy from Black Lagoon, if anybody has seen it.
I just did a waifu appreciation on her on my TikToks. People were asking about it, so I just did it. I usually do recommendations.
Yeah, she's just a complete badass and awesome character.
Yeah, she looks badass. I haven't seen it, but she looks way too badass.
A couple of my first ones when I was like getting back into anime after like a break, because I didn't really watch much anime in high school. So we have Misery from Rosario Vampire.
Obviously Rosario Vampire.
It's your classic harem, you know, along the lines of high school DxD.
After watching Testament of a Sister New Devil, I think I might want to focus on harems for right now.
Yeah.
Because that one was just on a whole nother level. But I'm taking a little break on harems right now because that one was really on another. And it sucks too because I wanted to watch Hybrid X Heart, but after watching Testament of Sister New Devil, I think I got to take a little break from harems for right now.
Everybody needs a break from at some point.
Walked in on me watching it and was watching it with me. He's like, bro, what are you watching? Porn? I'm just like, no, I'm watching Testament of Sister New Devil. I'm just like, and he's all, okay, so the same thing. I'm like, yeah, pretty much the same thing.
It can be similar.
It was good, though.
I've got Musubi from Sekirei.
I heard it was really good.
Oh, it's...
Isn't that another classic harem?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Right up there, you know, high school DD, all of that stuff. It's very, very similar harem types with that. What else we have here? I've got Junko Asagiri from Desert Punk. Or like a more classic waifu.
She looks more like a badass that
she is, yeah. And that's a fun show. The ending was terrible, but she's a good character. Another classic one, Holo from Spice and Wolf.
Harem, probably, huh?
No, not at all.
Oh, I was guessing by the picture, but not a harem?
No, it's about economy.
So politics, basically.
Yeah, politics and economy. It's really good.
Oh, yeah, I'm going.
The classic, of course, Rias Grandma.
Rias, amazing, top tier, lover. The thing about High School DxD, it was so funny. Like, it was just so funny, man. To where, like, I loved it. That's how funny it was. I loved it.
It's pretty great.
This show was something I would rewatch just because.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would as well. Let's see what else we have here. Madoka Kurakami from Madoka Box.
I think I've heard about Madoka Box.
It's really good. I actually need to finish the... can't remember if it's a light novel or manga. I want to say manga. I want to finish it because they quit making the anime, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. Though in the process of making this, I discovered that like her and Rias have like very similar character designs.
Oh yeah, they do. I can see it.
Like, very similar.
Yeah, they're very similar.
The eyes are different, but, like...
Yeah. The hairstyle is different. Obviously, hair color is different. Clothes are different. But the pose that you put for the two videos are very similar.
I was like, oh, wow. That's really close.
Yeah.
From a newer one, Quintessential Quintuplets, we have
Miku. Ah, yes! Miku! I love it. I'm top five. She's in my top five.
Oh,
she's
Miku's best fourth. Girl. Best girl.
A lot of people say Nino and Best Girl, but the thing is, I hope this anime goes on anime original apart. I hope it goes anime original, not manga.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that. But if it does go anime original, I feel like Miku won't win. I feel like she'd be one of the contenders to win, but she wouldn't win. I feel like the winner would be Itsuki. And that's just because that was the first girl Futaro met. Was Mitsuki, and usually the first when it comes to like harem animes and stuff like that, it's usually the first girl that the main character meets that they get with.
Usually, like, yeah, but like,
yeah, but I hope it's Miku
definitely stole the show, like, yeah, by far to me at least.
It was Itsuki, Miku, and Nino that stole the show for me, man. Agreed. Ichigo obviously had her moments. Ichigo had her moments for sure. But, like, I feel like they couldn't compare to Miku. Like, obviously, Ichigo had that one episode at the end where it was just her and Futaro locked up, basically, stuck in a cabin together.
Oh, yeah.
Which, he's a lucky man, but hey, it's whatever. But I feel like Miku just stole the show either way, man.
And I'm super excited for season two this winter.
Yeah, the thing, like, I hope that Miku wins, man.
I do too. We'll see if they do something different. Yeah, then we have Ruka Sarashina.
Okay, I like Ruka, but I'm sorry, Mizuhara's better.
I was really torn. Especially watching Rent a Girlfriend. Ruka just like, she wants to have that relationship, and that's what like sold it for me, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I love both. Both are excellent. Yeah. Like, don't get me wrong. This is like,
yeah.
One I like them one.
I like them good, but they're all good, but I just, Mizuhara's probably the best in the show. Something I never really understood is why people think that Sumi is the best girl. She was in one episode, didn't talk the entire episode, but at the end of the episode, she said like four words, and everyone thinks she's the best. Cute,
but she had like no massive character development. Like, it was more about the main character's character development in that episode with her,
yeah,
than it was about her character.
I don't really see why she's the best. I can see, but like, don't get me wrong, she's a good wife. We're obviously gonna see more of her in season two, obviously. But
literally, yeah,
I don't know how she's the best girl when she's only said four words in the entire show and had one episode dedicated. Like, I don't get it. Like, I'm sorry, I don't get it.
I don't either, but both of those are excellent.
Yeah. They're all good waifus.
And just to finish out here, what I came up with, I had Rui Tachibana from Domestic Girlfriend and Haruhi Suzumiya from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Never even heard of the anime, but
it's good.
It looks old school. It looks old school. It looks classic.
It is old school. Yeah. It's early 2000s. You can tell with the character design.
Yeah, isn't like Rui from Domestic Steps, like sister, like don't her and the main character are like stepsister and brother or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's all spice. It's such a spicy show.
I can tell. The thing is, I was watching the first episode of My First Girlfriend as a Gal, and I was gonna take a break on animes. I thought that anime was like about like just a wholesome romance anime, but
no, that's wrong. I have lots of opinions on that one, and I think it's probably one of the worst anime ever made, mostly because not to get too into another topic, but they like glorify like a pedophile in it to a degree, and I'm just like, no.
I saw the end when the two main characters kissed.
Yeah, I watched the entire show, but I was just like, this is awful, because I needed, this is one of the ones where I wanted like ammunition in case there's people that actually enjoy it, because it is hot trash.
Yeah,
and the thing is, I just, because I like hot trash, but
I love romance, wholesome romance, but when it comes to when I'm taking a break from like ecchi and harem animes, like I would like to stay away from them for when I take breaks from them, because usually after I watch a harem, I take a break from the harems, because like sometimes they're a little bit too much for me. Like sometimes the itchiness in there, it just like gets too much, so then I keep going. Right. So then I go on to like wholesome romance animes, but then I go back to like an ecchi harem, like I did. Like I went from High School DxD, and then the thing is, Day to Live wasn't really ecchi at all. Like I didn't really see, like we didn't see any, I didn't see any nudity in there. So I obviously watched it a couple like days after. Like actually two weeks after High School DxD I finished it, so I was okay with it. And then I didn't really take a break from harems, because Day to Live was something I could have handled, so that's it. But then after watching Testament of a Sister New Devil, I decided I'm gonna take a little break from it, because it was like the hair, it was too much for me. I finished it in 2 days, but I liked it. I liked the story and the fights, but I just didn't like the concept of the Master Servant pack, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't like how he has to relieve them, like they say in the show, but it's a good anime. It's a good anime. Pretty much borderline hentai, but I still liked it.
That was like borderline hentai.
Yeah, it's just borderline. But I liked High School DxD because it was funny. That's why I liked it.
Yeah, it has good comedy.
All right.
Give me a few lightning round waifus here. Just bang a couple off the top of your head, and we'll get wrapped up here.
Stella.
Okay.
You got Asuna.
Asuna, always a classic.
Yo, give me a second, dog.
All right, Asuna is always a good one. What else you got?
Yes. Let's see here. We got Reina from Data Live.
Okay, good one.
He told me from Irodoku.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm trying to think of another one. I always... Toka from Data Live. Chelsea from Akame Ga Kill. Akame from Akame Ga Kill. Ain from Hybrid X Heart. Let's see. Yo, I'm like,
give me,
I know
give me one a more. Bunch of, one more. What you got?
I always know them, but it's just like when I go to say them, it's just hard to say.
Right.
I mean, yeah. You got, but I bet I can quick fire some. 02. Let's see. Akano, Irina, Emilia from ReZero. Yo, I'm trying to think back to my top 10. Aqua, Miyu, Mio, you got obviously Julius, Miku. I can't forget about Miku.
Obviously. Yep.
Yeah. So basically, all the quintuplets, every girl from every harem, and sorry, every girl from any anime, to be honest. If I'm
pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. It's hard to think. Like, I know some off the day and think about it. It's hard to say right off the bat. Like,
right.
You'd have to let me, I'd have to go do my research and go through, you know, but I was able to still get it off. Nice. Zenobia, you got Zenobia, mine, Sheila from Akame Ga Kill, mine and Sheila from Akame Ga Kill, obviously. Let's see here. What else we got here? Yo, what was that one girl's name from Akame Ga Kill that got tortured along? That was tortured. Seiya, I think, was it?
Oh,
the first episode that she died. Seiya, the ones that were traveling, that were traveling with Tatsumi. Seiya.
The ones that were his, like, childhood friends. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Seiya could have been a baddie. She could have been a bad, she could have been a baddie waifu if she was still alive, man.
Oof. Could have been.
Like, could have been, but we all know what happened to her.
Yep.
We all know what happened to her. Well, we all know what happened to every single person in the comic book.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. Sucks, but that's a comic I got killed for you. That's what happened when there's no plot armor.
Oh, I
people complain
it.
About people complain about plot armor and then what? And saying, why is everyone dead? Where's the plot armor in here? And honestly, I was the same thing until I watched. I was the same person until I watched it. After watching, I said, yeah, plot armor needs to be a thing. I'm sorry. If plot armor wasn't a thing, Naruto would be dead. Sasuke would be dead. Sakura would be dead. Let's see. Goku would have died like 50 times already. Vegeta would have died around 20 times. Like, a lot of people would have been dead by now.
Oh, yeah.
If there was no plot armor in anime.
It's needed to a degree.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, this has been fun, man.
This has been fun. Bro. My first ever podcast. It's fun.
Yeah, we went off on some tangents here. Didn't get to all the waifus we wanted to, but that's part of it. I had a good time just chatting.
Went off topic a little bit. Sometimes, a lot of times.
Yeah, that's fine. Topic.
Yeah. I was going to talk about,
we go on tangents.
I was going to talk about the rumors of a kill and stuff like that, but I'll save that for a YouTube video.
Sure. There we go. We'll have that'd to have dope. You back on here for another episode sometime.
Yeah, that'd be dope. Have me on for another episode. Because, yeah, bro, this is the first ever podcast I've. So I was so nervous going into it. I'm like, let's hope I don't say anything stupid or weird.
It doesn't matter.
I don't think I really, I think I did a good job.
You did excellent.
Yes.
Definitely. All right, one more time, Midnight. Where can everybody find you?
You can find me on YouTube. I'm still editing, but for right now, you can find me on YouTube as EpicBigC479. You can find me on TikTok as Midnight Hokage. You can find me on Instagram. I have two accounts, ElvisRojas1021, and I also got the Midnight Hokage account, which is my anime account where I post all my edits and other anime stuff I want to post on there that I've still got. That's still pretty new. So that's just every platform you can pretty much find me on right now. TikTok will probably be the best to find me on because I have more of a fan base there, and I have a more of a chance of replying to your comments and stuff. And I usually go live every day, so there's that. YouTube, I reply to all my comments. Instagram, I reply to all my DMs if I can. So yeah, that's just where you can find me at.
Awesome. And links for those will be down in the description. Thank you again for coming on the show.
No problem, man. It's been fun. I like being on a podcast. It feels nice.
Same. I love doing these.
Yeah, it makes me feel special. It makes me feel like I actually do mean something in life. Just like Madara said, man, nothing goes as planned as this, in this accursed world.
So true. So true.
So true.
All right, guys. We'll catch you again on next week's episode, and we'll see you later. Bye.
See you.